About 8:08, the call is meeting order.
Clifford.
Here.
McGuire. Rizal.
Here.
Store.
Here.
Bashapati. Clemens. Cowart.
Present. Okay, need approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Need approval of the minutes of January 4th.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion, correction. Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
No participation, public participation. Any communication from the committee?
Well, just a brief note. I went to the funeral of Linda Cross this week, so I don't know if any of you knew her when she was on the board. She served on the board for many years, and also on Champaign City Council. City Council. She was there too.
Oh, she was there too? I know she became township supervisor.
Yeah, supervisor of assessments as well too. That was it.
She must have been on there before I got here, huh?
Yeah, she was on in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
And maybe part of the 90s. Okay, need approval of the county township motor fuel tax claim for January 2019.
So moved.
Second, and I'd like to ask a question.
Okay, it's open for discussion.
Mr. Blue.
Yes.
Is this going to be enough money to get you to the conference?
What's that?
Page 3 says NACE.
Yeah.
Is that going to be enough money to get you to a conference and back?
No, that's the registration fee.
There you go. So the transportation and housing is going to be separate.
Yes. Okay. That's just it's a 4-day conference, and obviously meals are provided, and they're paying speakers and all that stuff. So that's your.
Where is that?
Wichita, Kansas. Isn't that just a wonderful place to go?
Can we give him a bonus for going to Wichita, Kansas?
You have to tell us what's out there.
Well, it used to be Cessna Aircraft.
Yeah.
Was it Cessna?
I think we're going on a tour of some
aircraft.
Yeah. Something. I haven't looked that far ahead yet because that's actually in April.
Yeah, there's actually a space museum out there at Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Okay. The end of discussion.
Okay. No more discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, now we're going to the county engineer's report.
So we've got the 2018 final bridge report. When we pass resolutions to fund bridge projects, there's a line in there that comes from the statutes that says we shall report final cost of the bridges on a yearly basis back to the county board. So that's what this is. We've got four larger bridges there that were finalized in 2018, and then the other sheet, page 5 of your agenda, is all the little culverts and smaller projects that we do a 50-50 share with townships. But if you have any questions, I sure can answer them, but this is just kind of something that is required by the statutes and by the resolutions that we pass to put this on file every year.
Is the $70,000, is there anything out of line that we should, would you like to call to our attention?
No, you can see some of the projects are over, some of them are under. It just depends. The County Highway 18 job is about $17,000 over, and that was because we extended the limits of the riprap on that project. The County Highway 55, the infamous Maplewood Drive project that we were just talking about, is over by about 70,000. That's because of that great big driveway that sits right there. We didn't anticipate having to build that, and the guy was adamant that he wanted to have the same access right along the edge of the creek, so we had to bring in, I don't remember how many truckloads of dirt. It was an astronomical amount to get that driveway built up.
Soil, we bring in soil.
I can't remember his name.
Bartell.
I call it dirt.
That's why you're the engineer. Okay, all right.
And the compromise job was a little bit under. That was an aluminum box that we put in for the township. And the Mahomet Township project, that was a deck replacement in Mahomet Township that came in a little bit under. But we had some bad deck beams that had been there since the 70s, and we took them off and replaced the deck beams on that one. So those are really the bigger projects that show up there. The others are all culverts. So I don't even think we need any kind of motion on that. It was just we have to do that, so we bring it back for a year just to kind of look at. So the next item number 9, is resolution authorizing the execution of a transfer of legal representation. This came to me actually from Cheryl Cherney. She has been in a law firm for many, many years and is moving to a different law firm. Actually, her partners in her other law firm retired, and she was basically left with all the work, and she was overwhelmed and didn't want to try to bring in new partners for that firm, so she just decided to go with another firm and hook up with them as far as, you know, being a law firm. And she represented us on the California Ridge wind farm. And actually, all the fees that she received when representing us were paid by California Ridge. We never paid her a nickel, and we never will. But she's still our representative, because until that wind farm is basically gone, you know, we have to have somebody representing us. As a matter of fact, right now, she's drawing up a maintenance agreement between California Ridge and the county that says, you know, if you want to bring in a 200,000-pound crane to fix your windmills, here's what you got to do. So we're still using her services. She's still billing those services to California Ridge, but she didn't feel comfortable without having this resolution transferring the legal representation. So this was sent to the state's attorney's office. They reviewed it. I don't think they made any major adjustments. Obviously, we added some signature lines there, put Darlene in there as a signator on the resolution, and then put Julia as the state's attorney in on the exhibit to the resolution. So this is an actual resolution that has to go through the board, so we will need to have approval of it here at the Highway Committee.
Okay.
Yes.
Second. Any discussion?
I will say it's changed hands already.
Oh, many times. Yeah.
It's you know, on the board, I guess, I don't know. People come and they're going to do all this great things, and they're going to be there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't happen.
No, but and that's why it's good to have legal representation.
Oh,
because
yeah.
The last time they had to do some maintenance on one of the blades, they literally brought in a 200,000-pound crane, mm-hmm. and the moving company called us. And it was an absolute disaster because they didn't even really know that we had a road use agreement with the wind farm and what all the rules and stuff was for that. And we kept telling them, we're not dealing with you, we're dealing with the wind farm people. And they kept telling us, well, that's not what the wind farm people are telling us. They told us to get the permit and get that crane there. And I was like, well, we're not dealing with you, I'm sorry. We need to deal directly with the wind farm. And so now we're putting together an agreement that actually says that, so that there's no, you know, there's no hesitation and everybody understands.
Did they tear up the road?
No, they didn't, but we had to have a bridge analyzed because that kind of weight going over a bridge, we had to have it analyzed to make sure it was going to be able to carry the loads. And it's more about the townships, you know, because all of these wind turbines are basically on township roads. So they use our road to access the township road to get to the wind turbines. And obviously the township roads were built at the time that the wind turbines were put in to a higher level of service so that they would hold up, but, you know, they might not hold up forever. So the township wants to have a little security in knowing that their roads are going to be good, you know. So they actually have the same attorney, you know, Compromise Township, Ogden Township, and even the townships over Vermilion County use her legal services. So we're all
How old was this windmill? Couldn't have been that
California
old.
Ridge is what, 5 years old,
five,
maybe?
5 years old.
They're already returning.
Well, they get struck by lightning or they get a bird strike or something, you know, so the blade got damaged. So they had to come in and replace the blade. And those blades are, you know, I don't, they're gigantic.
One of them actually fell off.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fell off.
It wasn't good.
Fell off or flew off?
It flew a little ways.
Wow. That would be scary.
Yeah, you don't want to be close to it when that happens. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Can't imagine.
So until they decommission this thing and it's totally gone, we'll continue to have a letter of engagement with the lawyer so that we're represented.
Good.
Because the state's attorney could do it, but they don't do it on a regular basis. She represents, I can't even tell you how many municipalities, counties, and townships she represents on road use agreements for everything from Ameren to, you know, wind farms to pipelines, and that's kind of her niche. So she does really well at it.
And I guess the Exhibit A, these are hourly rates.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know what the 204 per page. I think it's supposed to be 20 cents per page.
You know that I...
But I looked at the 4 key on a computer and it's not the cent key. It's the dollar key. So I don't know.
I usually when you get stuff from a lawyer, it's pretty...
Yeah, and the 4 is even bold. Like it was, yeah. That's the only thing I've seen here that's a little bit of an anomaly. But like I said, we're not paying for these expenses. So,
okay.
But yeah, I could get a hold of her and see what the heck that...
It
goes to the board.
It looks a little like...
I can ask her what that's actually supposed
to
be.
Yeah, that may come up.
Huh?
That may come up.
I know, right? I think it's supposed to be 20
cents. You might
be called
to the desk. Jeff, could you come up and explain?
Yeah, 204 per page. So we'll get that straightened out.
Thank you.
So we need a vote on that.
Oh.
We did.
We had the first, second, and discussion.
Motion, second. All right.
We're ready to vote.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay.
All right. The next item is a discussion item, but I really think it's imperative that we kind of have the discussion here because I'm hoping that these discussions are going to be taking place throughout the state over the next few months about transportation funding because the new governor talked about it, obviously, during his campaign about doing something with transportation or infrastructure. And we're hopeful that in some way that comes through and we get some kind of funding for transportation projects. We actually had a meeting here at this table in this room back on January 24th.
December?
Huh?
Was it December?
January. Wasn't that long ago. You were here. We had all the state representatives and senators that represent Champaign County here, at least their representatives, they didn't all show up directly. Carol sent her representative, and Chapin sent his, and the other four were actually here, physically here, to talk about transportation needs before they got into their, you know, get over to the Capitol and start doing what they do in Springfield. We had 20 of the highway commissioners here, so they were all here. And this is, these meetings are taking place all over the state. All the county engineers are trying to get a hold of their representatives and senators. And some of the smaller counties, they might group three, four, five counties together and all sit down together as a group with their representatives and senators, because, you know, they don't, they share a lot of those in those smaller communities. Just to talk about the need. And this first sheet, which is page 9 of your handout, we know as a group of engineers, and this is IAC, Illinois Association of County Engineers, as well as the township officials of Illinois, have kind of grouped together with these talks. We know that it's not realistic that there's going to be $650 million in new annual revenue going through the formula that comes back to counties and townships, because that in and of itself is about 11 cents per gallon increase in the motor fuel tax just to go to locals. And we know that's not going to happen, but we wanted to show that that actual need is there. We've done the need study. We've ran the numbers based on what it cost to do business back in 1990, which was the last time the motor fuel tax was increased, and what it cost to do business in 2018 when we did the upgrade of the need study. And in order just to keep the roads at their current condition so that they don't become, you know, more deteriorated, that's the need for all the county and township roads throughout the state. And then we also put in this $320 million per year bond to get the system upgraded to where it should be. We all know that when they put in the 80,000 pound rule and gave us some measly, you know, few hundred thousand dollars for a few years to kind of make us all be quiet, that wasn't enough. And Champaign County, we're doing a lot better than most counties because we actually have a good EAV. We have some tax base. You get down in some of these smaller counties south of here that have no EAV, no vehicle registrations to speak of, their motor fuel tax and their ability to maintain roads is much less than ours is. So that's what we need, but we know that that's not reality. But the reality is that what we're trying to instill into our state legislature is, you know, what's up here on the screen. This is the motor fuel tax formula and how the money flows. And what we don't want the legislators to do is just to do this great big bonding program and start picking projects, because we know downstate Illinois is not going to fare well in that kind of scenario where they, you know, they do some huge bonding thing like they did when they did Illinois First or any of those other bonding programs, and everything goes up to Chicago and we get, you know, a few thousand dollars downstate. So we're really trying to push the idea of whatever money you do, whatever source you get it from, you know, we need it to be sustainable and we need it to be long lasting. We don't need a one-time shot in the arm. We need something that's going to continue to bring us revenue. And it needs to go through the formula. I mean, this formula is tried and true. That's up on the screen. We've been using it since, you know, the motor fuel tax law was put into place, and it works well. And it actually is something that everybody has agreed on over the last 30 or 40 years, that this is a good way to distribute the money. So that's kind of our message that I was trying to give to our legislators that were here was, you know, and one of the legislators was talking about that McLean County had talked about going to get a law passed where they could have their own county motor fuel tax. And I said, well, that's great for McLean County, and it'd probably work okay for Champaign County if we could get that passed. But the little bitty counties who have one gas station in their entire county, and, you know, and they might sell 10,000 gallons of gas, you know, a week, that's not going to help them. So how are we going to make sure that the transportation system in the state of Illinois is in good shape, not just in McLean County or Champaign County or Macon County, that, you know, we can make sure that we're taking care of everybody? Because when I drive, I don't care what county I'm in, right? Yeah. I want the roads to be there, and I want them to be good, and I want to be able to not have to go in and get my car fixed after I drive to go see somebody. So, you know, this sheet 10 in your handout there shows, you know, what those $650 million annually and that $3.2 million bond would bring to Champaign County. And I know those aren't realistic, but we just wanted to show in a spreadsheet, you know, here's what we get. Here was our 2017 motor fuel tax distribution. You can see what each township gets and what the county gets. And here's what, you know, if we got that much revenue into the formula.
That's the 650?
Yeah, the 650 is in the, what would be the fourth column or fifth column, and then the $3.2 billion dollar bonds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that 3 point, you know, if you look at our number, when I brought that list of projects to the committee back at the last committee meeting, we were around $20 million that we had a true need for, like, right now. So that, you know, that $24 million that you see there from those bonds, you know, would actually help us get to the point where it's supposed to. You're supposed to get kind of your backlog done with that money so that you can move ahead and start doing your, you know, your typical maintenance and construction type projects. So that number actually fits well with what our needs are. Do I think we're going to get that? No, but, you know, it's always nice to know that it's not just some baloney number that somebody picked out of the air. It actually fits with what we're seeing out there in Champaign County. But, you know, you look at some of these motor fuel tax distributions, and then, you know, the sheet 12 actually shows, you know, them and not a, I just broke out the table so that you could actually see township and county, and you compare that to how many miles of roadways that we have there shown on sheet 13 in the townships. I mean, the townships maintain 1500 miles plus of roads per year for about $2 million in total, you know, MFT distribution to the townships. So, and then the county, we get $2,230,000 in 2017. So, you know, the problem is that's the same number we got back in 1990, darn near. I mean, yeah, there's a few more cars on the road than there were back then, but cars are a lot better. They're more fuel efficient. And we got the electric cars, and we got the hybrids, and, you know, so there's more people on the roads, but the fuel consumption really hasn't changed a heck of a lot in the last 10 to 15 years. It's been really flat. So this number hasn't changed, you know, in almost 30 years. And obviously costs, and that's the, you know, the sheet, the last sheet there, which I know, Chris, you had some issues with the, with kind of the, what it looked like, and the reason it's kind of looks old is because it is old. I mean, we've got archives that we've scanned into, you know, computer files. And this is a pay estimate from 1988. You'll see this bridge built in 1988 by Champaign Asphalt Company was about $70,000 to build a standard type single span township bridge where you drive piling, you pour your abutments, and you put your decks on top of them, put your rails on, and rebuild the roadway, and you're done. And then you fast forward to 2015, and this bridge is actually a little bit smaller than the one that was shown back there in 1988. Now you're up to $220,000. So triple plus, you know, what it costs now to build a bridge as to what it cost in 1990, but we have the same funding stream as we had back in 1990. And that's just one example. I mean, if you look at asphalt prices from 1990 to now, they're triple to quadruple of what they were back in 1990 as well. And obviously we're using asphalt to do our seal coats. That's the township's biggest cost, is their aggregate and their asphalt to do their seal coats. And that seal coat, you know, now they used to be able to do, what they say in that meeting, Lorraine, they used to be able to do 15, 20 miles a year of their township roads, and now they're doing 4-5 miles a year. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you got 50, 60 miles of township roads and you're only doing 4 or 5 miles a year, you're not able to keep up. You know, you need to those townships need to seal coat those roads every 4 to 5 years, and they're seal coating them every 10 years. And so some of them are starting to break up. I know there's a lot of counties in southern Illinois where they're just going in with a motor grader and ripping up the old seal coat roads and laying them back out and just saying, they're going to be gravel now because we can't afford to continue to seal coat them. And I know there's a lot of pressure out there for every other program in the world, because we got a new governor and we got a new legislature. But I'm hoping there's going to be a real discussion about the need for increase in transportation funding. And what we're trying not to get into is the whole thing, well, how do you do it? Well, that's not what we do. I mean, people say the motor fuel tax is antiquated because, you know, there's electric vehicles and there's hybrid vehicles, and you know, we need to have a different way to get money to build roadways. Well, nobody's really come up with one. Governor Pritzker talked about like a mileage tax or a wheelage tax, where you actually tax based on the amount of miles that you drive your vehicle, regardless of whether it's hybrid or you know, electric or gas. But everybody's all worried about, you know, their privacy issues. Well, everybody that carries one of these is, you know, Big Brother knows where you're at. Don't kid yourself.
Privacy, yeah.
Yeah. So that whole privacy thing doesn't hold much water, but a lot of people, you know, want to use that as an excuse. But if you think about your typical person that drives a vehicle, you know, let's say a typical person would drive 20,000 miles a year. They're getting 20 miles a gallon, just, you know. So 1,000 gallons of gas at 19 cents, they're paying $190 a year to the state of Illinois to be able to drive wherever they want to drive, whenever they want to drive. I mean, where else can you get that, you know? Where else can you get that value?
How much would you say?
Well, that's 19 cents at 1,000 gallons of gas. That's $190.
Jeez.
So divide that by 12, what, $15? Something like that.
Is there anything coming from the federal government, since there's talk about pumping money into the infrastructure?
Well, they're talking about an increase in transportation funding too, but I don't know what that looks like at the federal government level. I mean, there are federal taxes on top of the state's taxes. You know, it's about the same as ours is. But that money goes through so many different sieves and layers that by the time we get
circles.
It, you know, I get a drop of water out of a tank of, you know, a 500-gallon tank. So that doesn't really get back to the local system very well. Whereas this money goes through a formula, and we get it monthly, and we can rely on it. We know it's coming, so we can set up our programs. We can do our maintenance. We can do our construction. We know we're going to have X number of dollars to build this road this summer, or to seal coat, or to do our striping, or to do our mowing, or whatever we need to do to maintain the roadways. Whereas federal money is just kind of, you don't know.
Are there any covered bridges in Champaign County? None?
Well, Lake of the Woods has a covered bridge. But other than that...
And we don't maintain that.
We do not. They do. The actual Forest Preserve District, we do the inspection on it, because the county is the responsible party for all bridges in the county. The municipalities, like the cities of Champaign and Urbana, they do their own bridge inspections, but like we do all the bridge inspections in Tolono and Philo and Sadorus and, you know, all the townships and all the counties. And in totality, we inspect over 600 bridges. And we have to do that either on a 2-year or a 4-year rotating basis, depending on the condition of the bridge. The better the condition of the bridge, the less we have to go look at it.
And you keep track of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have to send reports to the state. The state has to send those reports to the feds. And then they track, yeah, if you're delinquent in inspecting those bridges, it's a big deal. The feds start to talk about cutting off money to the state, and then the state starts talking about cutting off money to the counties, because the counties, if the counties are the delinquent ones.
I'm going to make a point here to the chair of the board.
Mm-hmm.
All of the bridges are inspected. Ask Illinois EPA how many of the landfills are inspected. Excuse me for bringing that up, but
that doesn't happen, is what you're getting to. Even the active ones? I assume the active ones
are
inspected.
The active ones are inspected, okay. Yes. There's 44, 45 of those, maybe 43 now. But getting back to some stuff, and I recall, and I should have brought it with me, but it occurred to me on reading this, and again, that there was a payment report that was made, and it looked like we were kind of keeping up with pavement condition to the point that it didn't look like we were going. I mean, it looked like we were making really good progress.
Yes.
And actually doing very well, and yet we're coming here asking for money, and I'm for some things, and I'm a little bit trying. Well, I'm trying to reconcile.
Yeah,
those.
I understand where you're coming from, and the top of the pavement is not. I mean, it's great to have good pavements, and we measure rutting, we measure cracking, we measure rideability, and all that kind of thing. We measure basically what it feels like in the seat of your pants when you drive down the roadway in your car.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what those pavement condition indexes are.
Okay.
But the fact of the matter is, the road that goes, let's just take a for example, the road that goes from Illinois 130 through Sydney and over to Homer,
mm-hmm,
is 21 foot wide with 2.5 foot shoulders and power poles from me to you off the edge of the roadway. That is a death trap.
Okay.
Pavement condition's okay, but the actual configuration of the roadway, you know, is leading people to have very serious injuries and fatalities on our roadways. So yeah, we're doing okay making them look good, but the fact of the matter is,
they're really up to standard.
Yeah, if you got 3,500 cars a day on that roadway,
okay,
trying to navigate it.
Thank you for helping me with that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different measurements.
Mm.
And we are measuring pavement condition index, but Illinois is actually in, like, I wouldn't say last place, but bottom 10% in the nation as far as fatalities on rural roadways.
Oh.
So bottom, I mean, we have more fatalities than most states for the amount of traffic and the amount of people that we have on our roadways in the state of Illinois. As a matter of fact, the feds measure that. And there's monies that are set aside called highway safety improvement dollars, which is what we oftentimes can get our hands on to fix the roads, like the Sydney Road that I was talking about. And those monies are supposed to be doled out to the localities to fix the safety problems that they have on the roadways. And Illinois is lagging behind severely in being able to make those improvements. And the amount of fatalities that we're having on our roadways in comparison to the amount of fatalities that are happening nationwide, the feds are telling the state of Illinois, they're right now we're in an $8 million penalty, which I it's kind of good for locals if you look at it in a strange and funny way, because they're saying you have to give this money to the locals in order to do the things that they need to do on their roadways, because you got people dying at a higher rate than anybody else on your local roadways. So they call it a penalty, mm-hmm, because the state can't just take the money and do with it what they will. They have to dole it out to the locals. So we're one of the most penalized states, if you want to call that a penalty. You know, so we're doing okay in Champaign County, yes, with the top of our roadways, but we're also getting to the point where some of these roadways, even the Sydney Road or the 5 mile road, which goes from Philo over to US Route 45, very narrow, Very dangerous. We just had a severe accident out on Monticello Road, which is one of the roads we just fixed a couple of days ago. Somebody blew through a stop sign and got hit. I mean, there's not a lot we can do about that, but, you know, those are the type of things that we're trying to avoid and prevent from happening out on our roadways.
So you not only keep track of deaths on the roads, but you keep track of where they happen?
Oh, yeah.
And if it's basically driver fault versus road condition fault?
Yeah, I mean, we do track that. It's kind of hard sometimes to figure out who was actually at fault. Obviously, if it's a DUI, we kind of know what happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't always know if somebody was distracted when they ran off the road and hit a power pole. If they admit to it or if you can prove it, you know. But the fact of the matter is, I hate to say this, but people are not quite as focused on their driving as they used to be. And so with all those other things that are going on in a vehicle when they're trying to drive, our narrow pavements with our narrow shoulders are an issue.
Yeah.
It's an issue. And once you drop that wheel off the pavement and the shoulder drop off, and then they try to correct and get back up on the road, and then you're off to the other side of the road. And if you have power poles or any kind of, you know, something that's
real
pretty
close. Yeah.
Pretty close to the roadway, you're asking for trouble, you know. And unfortunately, that's the way they measure safety, is by fatalities. And we're trying to get away from that.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I'm pushing. I went to a thing down in Georgia back in December that somebody else paid for me to go to talk about rural road safety across the United States and how we're measuring safety and how we're dealing with safety and how we're going to make our roads safer. And Illinois is kind of lagging behind that too, because, you know, I get the phone call, how many people have to die on this roadway before you're going to fix it? And I just think to myself, that's honestly true, because that's the way the state of Illinois doles out their money. If somebody dies on your roadway, you get more money to fix it, which is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, we know what's wrong with the roadway. We know the shoulders are narrow, the curves are too tight, the poles are too close to the roadway. We know there's an issue, so let's fix the issue before somebody does have a fatality. Let's not wait till somebody dies and then get the money and go fix it.
And this kind of gets us kind of setting standards and
right.
and guidelines.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. Yep. And with more trucks and heavier trucks and
When they went to the 80,000 pounds.
And I think 90's coming. Not too distant
really?
Future. Oh yeah. Yeah. A lot of states have already done it. You go up to Michigan, it's like 90 to 100,000 pounds is standard.
What does a truck with limestone, one of those big trucks with limestones, what kind of weight are we talking about with those?
You mean a semi or just a tandem vehicle?
And not the tandem, but the longer one.
Yeah, they're typically, I mean, they're loaded to meet the 80,000 pound standard. So they could hold more. I mean, we just purchased a semi truck.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they don't even fill them all the way up. And that's the whole thing about
that's
the 90 to 100,000.
Up in Lake County, I can tell you.
And it depends on the length of the trailer they're pulling and the depth of it and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you load up a grain trailer on a semi, I expect you can get 120, 130, I don't know.
You could.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. You can get it up there pretty good.
Well, I bet you we're seeing those loads.
Oh yeah, yeah, we are. Just nobody's out there
checking. Yeah.
I had another question for you, Jeff. Are there any complaints from the farmers regarding Olympia Road that we built? There was talk about noise and light, and I know that we put up barriers like trees.
Right. And those trees are only 5 foot tall, so they're not really doing much yet. It was really a couple of landowners out there that were really the ones that were trying to hold. And I haven't heard from them since the roadway opened.
There's no traffic over there, right? Nobody knows that it's there.
It's actually gaining a lot of businesses on North Lincoln, like your FedExes and your grocery distribution joint over there, UPS, and there's two concrete plants and there's an asphalt plant. If they're going to go north when they pull out of there, instead of going out on 74, going over to the interchange, which is a death trap, and then trying to go north, they just go north up Lincoln, you know, catch Olympian, and then jump on 57 and go north. There's quite a bit of truck traffic out there. It's a lot more than you would think. The biggest issue is some of them don't turn and go west on Olympian. They continue to go north on that township road, and that poor township road is in bad shape. It's taking a big beating, big time beating.
One of you know, like kind of like Lincoln extended.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So, but someday that'll all be kind of done. But you know, development will drive it if there's ever development going to happen out there. But the people who are fighting it are the landowners. So the odds of them selling to a developer. Probably not real good right now until maybe they, you know, pass it along to their relatives and somebody else inherits the property. So, but yeah, there's more traffic out there than you would think.
Okay.
Because I do take it actually. Because I live over here in Southeast Urbana and I'm coming down 57 from Chicago. I jump off on Olympian and it'll wait until they start building the 74-57 interchange. And it'll be bumper to bumper out on Olympian and Lincoln because nobody's going to want to go through that interchange while it's being reconstructed. And that'll take 2 or 3 years to do that project once they get it started.
Which one?
The 57-74 interchange.
Oh, yeah, I may as well just kind of move to South Pacific for a couple of years.
You don't want to go through that interchange when they're redoing it. It's already not very enjoyable to drive through it, but when they put temporary legs and everything else in it to try to make it work while they're constructing it because they can't just shut it down, there'll be a lot of traffic moving to the rural and local roadways during that time to avoid that interchange.
What sort of design length do they like to have for something like a major intersection like that? You'd think 50 years or something like that.
Yeah.
That would be the level of design because you don't really want to do this very often.
No. And so it's pretty close. I mean, the interstate system was built back in, you know, pushing 50 years ago.
Yeah, I guess it was.
So it's probably done its due, you know, it's done its duty.
Okay.
But it's time to change it. It's antiquated, you know, with the ramps coming on and off at the same spot. That's the problem with that one, obviously. You got people trying to get off and people trying to get on, and they're pinching together.
That is, yeah. So they just don't build like them like that.
It's a pretty complicated design. I couldn't sit here and tell you what it looks like because I really wasn't that involved in it. But they got a big flyover. It's kind of like when you go through Effingham. Where 70 and 57 come together. Okay. I think it's going to look similar to that.
Oh my goodness.
So it's going to be up in the air quite a bit. So, but getting back to the funding thing, there is a 2019 Transportation Lobby Day. I'm going to sign up to attend if anybody on the board or the Highway Committee would like to attend this. I think they'll get a good turnout. And this will be for all modes of transportation. You know, trains, planes, automobiles, boats, you name it. Transportation for Illinois Coalition, you know, kind of tries to cover all the different modes of transportation. But I think they'll have a pretty good turnout over there. It's a good organization. It's the one that the county engineers kind of back and hang our hat on when we're doing things. And they've been very good to us. They haven't kind of gone away from helping out the locals. You know, some of these coalitions, all they care about is, you know, the interstates or the ports or, you know, Amtrak or O'Hare. this one really goes from top to bottom real well and tries to support all the different levels of government and the different type modes and types of transportation. So that's going to be on Wednesday, April 3rd. So if anybody wants to attend, let me know and I'll get you signed up and we can carpool over there and see if we can make a good representation for trying to get some transportation money.
Actually, wait a little closer to the date.
Yeah, just to see if you're going to have a conflict or whatever and to see where we're at. Maybe we already have a new transportation bill by then. That'd be great. But I guess my end all to this conversation is, you know, I want, in particular, the Highway Committee to be informed about what we are trying to do. You know, we're just trying to get more money into the formula. I don't care where it comes from. I mean, it needs to be a user fee because that's fair and equitable. How they get that money from the people who are using the roadways is not anything that we're trying to figure out on behalf of anybody. We're just saying we need money through the formula. We don't need, you know, cigarette money, and we don't need liquor money, and we don't need gambling money, because that's got nothing to do with roads and bridges. We need transportation money.
It seems that raising the motor fuel tax would be one way of getting it.
Yeah. I mean, I can go down to Meijer in Urbana and see a gas price, and then go and pick my wife up at the library for lunch and see a dime difference across town. Or if I drive over to Peoria to see my daughter, I might see a quarter's difference, you know, from time to time between Peoria and Champaign. And it could be a quarter more over there or a quarter more over here, depending on how the gas is fluctuating. So you put another 10 cents of gas tax, you know, is anybody really going to notice after a month or so?
Well, no. I told my wife, who drives a Prius, that, you're not even talking about 50 cents worth of difference. Get it where it's, you know, convenient for you there. Don't drive all over the place trying to save a dime a gallon, because she's only going to put 3 gallons in anyway.
But, you know, I mean, look at Champaign and Urbana, both have gas tax, right? Local gas tax. But if I go down to Philo, they're not charging me any different down there at that Casey's than I'm paying at the Casey's right out here on 74. Mm-hmm. And the city's getting a nickel from that Casey's for their, you know, for their transportation system. They're not, that Casey's down there is just putting that nickel in their pocket. You know, I'm not saying that I'm against gas station owners, because obviously they're small business people that do a good job, but I don't think you'd notice it in a month or two if there was some increase in fuel.
Well, the fact that the gas prices are down now
will help. That would help.
When they start creeping up to closer to $3.
Yeah, and then everybody starts thinking more about it, but, you know. Any increase we could get just needs to be put in the formula so that it's fairly distributed across the state. If there's conversations about transportation funding, that's where I would hope we would be, is we're in need of it. It needs to go into the formula, and it needs to be fairly distributed downstate and, you know, just the way it always has been.
By when will we need to let you know, Jeff, regarding this event on Lobby Day?
I'd say within end of March, something okay. Like that. I mean, they're not going to turn anybody away. They're just trying to get a head count, because I think there's going to be some food and stuff at the reception.
Okay. Yeah, I'll let you know.
Okay, that'd be great.
I have to look at my calendar.
Yep. So anybody could go. We figure out carpool over there or what have you. So love to go over there. I'm going to be going, so. That's pretty much all I have for the agenda, okay. Madam Chair, so.
Other business, anyone? Okay, the Chair doesn't have a report. Designated Ivan is number 9.
Yep.
Okay, if there's nothing else,
Oh, yeah, it was, Michelle just reminded me, we have Josh Riestek, who worked here for, right before I got here, so he's been here 15, 16 years. We promoted him to be the road foreman, like we had talked about. John Cooper, my assistant, is now the, he's the maintenance and operations engineer. It's part, kind of rolled into his job description, so... So Josh is the road foreman. We've had an open position at the highway department for about a year because we had a guy retire about a year ago, but I was waiting for all this to kind of fall into place. So we budgeted in 2019 for that position, and I just put it out for advertisement yesterday. I don't know if you guys get those, do you?
I don't, but somebody talked to me about it.
Okay. Because I know Tammy Asplund sends it out to all users, and I didn't know if the county board was part of the all users group that those go out to.
Yeah, I would think that.
Yeah, I get that.
You get the notices of like the blood drive and things like that.
Now what position Coop went to?
Coop is same position, we just added responsibility.
When we have like the...
So he's still the assistant county engineer, but he's in charge of maintenance operations now.
For the maintenance guys.
So instead of Tracy being the road foreman that was kind of in charge of all the planning and the actual on-the-road stuff all in one position, we kind of split that responsibility. So now we actually have a foreman on the road that's doing work that's day-to-day determining, you know, what the guys are doing out on the roadways. And then John Cooper is his boss, so they're working together to plan what maintenance operations and what things we're going to be doing, you know, on a weekly or monthly basis or whatever. And he's approving all the time and leave requests and all that stuff. And he got a good raise out of it, too.
Yeah. You better get a raise with the county board.
So, thanks for reminding.
Okay, is there anything else? If not, we're adjourned.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, one and all.
Here, Rhonda, I don't know if you got this here.
Oh, I have that in my car.
Oh, I've got...